All right. Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. It's good to see y'all. I'm glad you're here if you're here in person. And if you're tuning in online, we're glad to have you too. And if this is your first time watching, my name is Wade, and we're glad to have you. Let me open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll get right into tonight's message. Father, thank you for the message you gave me this week. Actually, for the last couple of weeks. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give me the boldness to preach it. And I pray for everybody that's here, Lord, and everybody that's watching online. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to hear what you're saying to us. And I pray that you would help us to understand what you're saying, God. And I pray that you'd help us to take these things and apply them to our lives so that we can bear the fruit you want us to bear and be the people you want us to be. And it's in Jesus' holy name I do pray. Amen. Also be in prayer for all the people that are sick right now and for the people that have been going through the natural disasters we've been seeing on the news, the tornadoes and stuff. They did a lot of damage. My daughter texted me yesterday. She lives in West Virginia, and she was showing me all kinds of pictures of damage that was done up there. So don't forget about those people either. The last time I was here a couple of weeks ago, we talked about entering into our rest, you know, getting some rest. And we used the children of Israel for an example, you know, how they didn't get to enter into their rest because of unbelief. But we talked about how sometimes life just gets so hard and it's just one thing after another and it don't let up. And we just need a break. You know, it gets rough sometimes and we just need some relief. And we talked about how so many of us don't get that rest because we try to get our comfort and our strength or whatever it is we're needing, we try to get it some other place than from God. And when we do that, we either get impatient and don't like waiting on God's timing, or we don't like the way God wants us to do it. You know, we don't want to make the changes in our lives in order to do the things the way God is saying to do them. And just like the children of Israel, like I said, we don't enter into our rest or our promised land because of unbelief or our lack of trust in God. I'm not going to go too much into what that message was about. If you missed that one, I hope you look it up online and watch it, or you can find it on YouTube. But tonight's message goes right along with that. On the way home, after I did that message a couple of weeks ago, this verse started running through my mind in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And it just kept playing through my mind, and it has been for the last couple of weeks. You know, Ephesians, it tells us how to transition from our old lifestyle into a new lifestyle of being led by our sin nature to being led by the Holy Spirit. It starts out in Ephesians 4, you know, it talks about unity in the church and working with each other instead of against each other. You know, realizing that we all should have the same goal when we come to Christ, and that is to serve Jesus. You know, we all have the same God, we all have the same Savior, and together we make up the body of Christ. And it talks about how since we are in Christ, we shouldn't live the way we used to live. You know, we're all going through a change. We're transitioning from the life that we've lived up to that point into a new life. We're all figuring it out. You know, nobody has got there yet, and we'll never completely get there until we are with Christ. But starting in Ephesians 4, it tells us we need to do that getting along with each other, not working against one another. And we shouldn't think about others the way we used to think about other people. We should see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're all going through the same thing. We're learning how to live for Jesus together. In Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 25, it says, "Put off concerning the former conversation of the old man." It's saying we got to move on from the way we used to be into the way God wants us to be, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. When we come to Christ, we're members of each other. We all are part of one body, and we're not perfect. You know, you're not perfect, I'm not perfect. But I shouldn't talk about you like you're still lost. You know, you're my brother or my sister in Christ now, and you shouldn't do that to me either. You know, we're all being changed from our old nature to our new one, and we're learning how to go from following my own will to being led by the Holy Spirit. And then in Ephesians 5, it goes on, and he's given us instructions on how to do that. You know, he says to get rid of idols in our lives, anything that we put above God. He tells us to get rid of the filthy talk that we used to use. Fornication, he's telling us how we should be changing. He gives us, you know, just thing, one thing right after another. You know, we need to change this, we need to change this. And he talks about, you know, in the way we talk, we got to change that. In the way we treat other people, in the things that we allow in our lives now that we belong to Jesus. You know, there's a lot of things that we thought were okay before, but once we come to Christ, there should be things in our lives that we say, hey, this don't line up with the Word of God, so that needs to go. And but sadly, a lot of us don't want to get rid of those things. And that's what he's talking about when he says idols. If it goes against God, if it separates me from him, then we need to change that stuff. And if you go through and read, you know, it's pretty detailed. He gives us some instructions on how we should treat one another as believers. He gives instructions for husbands, how they should treat their wives. He gives instructions to wives and how they should treat their husbands. He gives instructions on how parents should treat their children and how children should treat their parents. And he even gives us instructions on how we should work for our boss at work. And if we're an employee and not an employer instead of an employee, he gives us instructions on how we should treat the people that work for us. So Ephesians 4 and 5, it gives us, you know, in pretty good detail the things that we need to change to start this new life in Christ. And this is where we're going to pick up tonight in chapter 6. You know, we just read that verse in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you've probably heard that quoted a lot, you know, if you're been in church at all in your life, but what does that really mean, you know? And I'm sure you've heard it, people come up to you if you're going through a hard time and they tell you, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, I hope that works out for you. Keep me posted, let me know how things go. You know, if they don't have a clue what you're talking about, then that don't help anybody. You know, that's just as flippant as going and just telling somebody, I'll be praying for you, keep me posted. You know, if you're not really going to do anything, then that don't help them, you know. All of our lives, and that's why I want to talk about this tonight. All of our lives, we've been fighting our own battles the only way we know how. And like I said, this is talking about our transition from the way we used to live to the way we should live once we come to Christ. You know, we have to learn how to bring our battles to the Lord. We've got to learn how to do our battles differently than we used to. We have to learn to trust him and see how he wants us to handle our battles, not just keep doing them the way we've always done them. You know, that verse says, be strong in the Lord, not ourselves. It says, in his might, not our own. And that's all through the Bible. You know, we share Proverbs 3 all the time, lean not on your own understanding. And there's other verses in Proverbs that says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death. So, you know, all our life we've been battling this way, and it's not worked out well for us. It never does. And what that verse is saying, and he's fixing to go into it in Ephesians 6, a new way for us to fight our battles. And that is trusting in the Lord and his strength and his might, and not our own. You know, our old nature says, you know, if somebody does you wrong, we'll tell them, okay, you got me good, and now I'm going to get you back. That's what our old nature says. That's what my old nature says. But God says, revenge is mine. I will repay. In Romans 12 and verse 19, that's exactly what it says. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if we're not strong in the Lord, like Ephesians 6:10 said, if we don't trust the Lord, you know, we're not going to depend on him to defend us. We're not going to trust God to make it right when somebody does us wrong. So we're going to handle it ourselves like we always have. And like it says in Romans 12:21, when we do that, we're going to be overcome with evil. But that verse says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So learning to trust God and his strength and do things his way is our new way to fight our battles. And we'll get more into that here in a little bit. But when we try to do it ourselves, we get overcome with evil, trying to make things right on our own. I mean, you know, if you really think about it, if I'm going to get somebody back for doing me wrong by doing them wrong, you know, you can't put out a fire by putting more fire on it. And you can't overcome evil with more evil. It just produces more evil. The only way to overcome it is to not be a part of it, to not be evil ourselves. Give the fight to God and do it his way. And right in the middle of those two verses is verse 20. It says, therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. Or if he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And I know exactly what I was thinking the first time I read that verse. And it was, I don't think so. I'm not feeding my enemies. I'm not giving him anything to drink. And that's probably what you're thinking too. But Jesus said the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. He actually goes into a little more detail about it. He says, you've heard that it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. You know, that just seems so wrong to us when we hear that, when we first come to Christ, because it goes against our nature. But what kind of nature do we have? What kind of nature is it going against? You know, what kind of nature are we born with? We're all born with a sin nature. And that's why Paul is telling us here in Ephesians, the only way you're going to fight your battles and win is to throw off your old sin nature and be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, we just read those verses in Ephesians 4, and I want to read them again out of the NLT. It says, throw off your old sinful nature. It's not working. It's not what God wants for your life. You're just going to keep getting the same results you've always got. So we have to throw off our old sinful nature and our former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. We got to learn a new way to battle. And we do that through trust in God. And put on our new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. But we have to, absolutely have to have a relationship with the Lord in order to fight spiritual battles. And I'll show you here in a minute. They're all spiritual battles. There's nothing we face in this life that is not spiritual. And without the Holy Spirit, we're stuck right there. I was stuck right there for a long time, fighting our battles the same way we always have, and never fixing anything, just always making things worse. Without the Holy Spirit, if you're not surrendered to Christ, and Jesus is not Lord of your life, and you don't have the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to believe it's a spiritual battle. But in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, Paul's telling us that's exactly what it is. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. But without the Holy Spirit, like I said, we don't believe it's a spiritual battle. We don't believe that it's the enemy at work in someone else to get to us. We just don't believe that, you know. Say there's a guy named Rodney, and I'm saying, Rodney did me wrong, so I'm going to get Rodney back. I know it was Rodney. I saw him. It wasn't the devil. It was Rodney, so I'm going to get Rodney. You know what Paul's saying? It's not Rodney. It is the enemy working through Rodney. And getting back at Rodney is not going to fix anything. All that's going to do is hurt your testimony for Christ. It's going to lead you in the wrong direction, and it's going to cause more damage. And I don't know anybody named Rodney. That's why I use that name. But if you're watching or you're here and your name is Rodney, I'm not talking about you. I just picked a name. And that could be anybody. But if we don't really believe that verse, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, that's all we're going to be doing, is fighting flesh against flesh, and we'll never win. All we're going to do is just keep creating more damage. But if you, like I keep saying, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus and you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you're not going to believe in spiritual warfare, and you're not going to believe in spiritual battles. You're going to just associate people with the things that they do, and you'll wind up hating people, hating groups, hating places, hating things, and never put the blame where it's intended to go, and that is on the enemy. He's behind all that stuff. You're just going to go, you're going to be fighting flesh with flesh and evil for evil, and like we just read, we'll be overcome by it ourselves. You'll never believe that until you surrender your heart to Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit and try it for yourself. We're all by nature stubborn people. I didn't believe that myself until I tried it. Every one of us before Christ, we're like Doubting Thomas. We want proof. And if you don't know who Doubting Thomas is, he was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. And after the resurrection, you know, he didn't believe Jesus had risen from the dead. He heard him talk about it, but he said, I'm not going to believe that unless I see it myself. And I'll read that to you. I don't want you to take my word for it. In John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29, and this is after Jesus is risen, he comes walking in on him, and it says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And we're a lot like that. Unless we see it, we're not going to believe it. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach out your hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know, I had a real problem with that when I came to Jesus. I didn't want to make my relationship. I did want to make my relationship with Jesus right, but not so much with other people. And I didn't believe, you know, pray for your enemies and do good to your enemies and all that until I started doing it. I was just like Thomas. I wanted proof that that's going to work or I'm not doing anything. You know, like I said, I was still full of hate when I came to Jesus. I wanted to get right with God, but there were people in my life that I didn't just dislike them. There was people I actually hated, and there was no way I was going to pray for them. And I sure wasn't going to bless them. And I stayed stuck there for a long time. But during that time, you know, God was moving in my life, and he was opening doors for me that never should have been opened. You know, for the first time in my life, I was sober. And I was really sober. I wasn't just pretending to be sober and lying about it. But I still didn't have that joy of the Lord that I heard people talking about all the time. My heart was still full of bitterness, and I knew why. And it was because I wouldn't forgive, and I wouldn't pray for my enemies, and I wouldn't do the things that God was asking me to do. But I was beginning to trust the Lord because of the other things he was doing in my life. So I started doing the things he said. And it was unwillingly at first. I was just doing it so I could say that I did it out of obedience. And I started noticing that even though I wasn't willing to do it, even though I was doing it just so I could say I was being obedient, I noticed God started changing my heart towards the people that I had been hating. And he kept flooding me with verses. 1 John 4:20, I think it is, Travis. That's not in my notes. But I started seeing verses like that that says, how are you going to say you love God and hate people? 1 John 4:20 says, if a man says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And, God just kept hitting me with verses like that. And I started realizing that all this stuff is spiritual, And I started seeing people for who they really were. They were victims too, just like I was. They were sinners caught in sin. They were trapped in sin. And they were being controlled by their sin nature, just like I was. And slowly, I started believing in spiritual battles. And the more I believed it, the more God revealed it to me. And I could see that all these things were spiritual battles. And the more I trusted God and prayed for those people, really prayed for them, it wasn't good at first, I'd prayed, I hope you die and go to hell, or I pray that you get what you deserve. But when I got past that point and I really started praying for them, I started noticing that the hate that I had for them started to fade away. And I was able to start forgiving where I couldn't forgive before. And I was beginning to be able to separate, and here's the part I hope you get, is separate the sin from the person and actually see them for what they were. They're victims to sin, just like all of us were before Christ. And they need a Savior, just like all of us did before we came to Christ. But without believing Ephesians 6:12, that it is a spiritual battle, if we don't believe that, we can't forgive. And we won't forgive. We won't ever believe that verse until we have the Holy Spirit. And we won't ever believe it, or most of us won't, until we experience it ourselves. But if you've never really surrendered your heart to the Holy Spirit and invited him into your heart and made Jesus your Lord, you're just going to continue to fight your battles the way you always have. And you're going to continue to be miserable, because no matter the outcome, no matter how bad you get somebody back, if they've done you wrong, you still don't have peace about it. You still don't feel like you've won. You still don't get any satisfaction out of it. So no matter how it works out, if you fight your battles the way you've always done, you're still going to be miserable. You're still going to not have any joy out of it. You're still not going to get any peace out of it. And your heart's still going to know inside that it's not right with God. Like I said a while ago, we're all stubborn people. But we got to do like Jesus told Thomas in John 20 and verse 27. He told him, try me out. Test me. Put your hands into my side. I'm here. I am who I say I am, and I did what I said I would do. We got to give God a chance. Like I said, I did it just so I could say I was obedient. I didn't do it willingly to start with. And like I said to begin with, we're learning how to live for Christ. Nobody has it all figured out. We got to do like David says in Psalm 34 in verse 8. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't just say, I don't like that, I don't like that, I don't like that. We're like kids that won't eat their broccoli, Taste the Lord. Test him, and he will prove himself true. We got to trust the Lord enough to do things his way, and I promise you, you will see results, and you will see the evidence in your life that you need that's going to boost your faith. And that when you do that, that'll get you wanting more. Every time you put God to the test, he's going to come through. And every time he comes through, your faith's going to get a little bit stronger. And then the next battle, when it comes along, you're going to be like, man, that worked out so good the last time I let God handle this, I'm going to let him handle this one too. You know, we'll stop trying to handle things ourselves because, you know, we'll start remembering the last time I handled this, I made a mess of it. But every time I let God handle it, it works out well. We can't fight spiritual battles in the flesh. I've seen this in real time in my life too. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, by just seeking to please the Lord, and I had a lot of damaged relationships when I came to Christ, but just seeking to please the Lord, you know, I watched some of those relationships go from horrible and I thought were lost forever to like nothing ever happened. You know, they were just fixed and I hadn't even talked to those people. Didn't even talk to that person, but God did. You know, when I'm doing my best to live for God and live the way he tells me to, God's at work in my situations. God is at work restoring things that I've tore apart. The Holy Spirit is speaking to their hearts while I'm seeking the Lord. You know, that reminds me of Matthew 6, verse 33. If I'll just focus my mind on seeking the Lord and his kingdom and his righteousness, then everything else, God says, I will take care of myself. You just keep your eyes on me and focus on me. But it seemed like everything I tried to restore myself, like I said, I just made a mess of. But everything that I had brought to the Lord, he has restored. He has never let me down. And maybe for you it's not hate or bitterness or anything like that. Maybe it's just you don't want to change. You like the way your life is now. Maybe it's just you have things in your life that you're not willing to give up. That's spiritual too. There's a lot of things that are spiritual that we won't consider to be spiritual. You know, we believe God created the heavens and the earth, and we believe that Jesus came and was born of a virgin and died for us and rose from the dead on the third day. But for some reason, we can't make it from our house to Food City without calling somebody a moron because they pulled out in front of us. That's spiritual. You know, do you think it's God's idea that we call people an idiot or a moron, or we just read, you know, we can't hate people and say we love God. But we do that stuff all the time. We get irritated at people and we call them things we shouldn't call them. We say things that we shouldn't say. It's spiritual. And if you don't believe that, you know, whatever it is that you're not willing to surrender, it will continue to control you and keep you from God until you realize that it is spiritual. And the enemy is using whatever that is to keep you from having a relationship with the Lord. That's his main goal. He wants you to think whatever that is that's what's holding your life together. And he had me under that for a long time. You know, I never thought of my alcohol as a spiritual battle at all. You know, I thought it was all physical. I got to have that. I get sick without it. That was dead wrong, you know. It was more of a spiritual battle than it ever was a physical one. And I knew that was keeping me from a relationship with God. But it wasn't because of God. You know, like Pastor Josh said Sunday, God's never far away. He's always right there. All we got to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and he is right there. He would have taken me in any time, but I wouldn't go to him. I wasn't willing to let that go. I didn't trust God enough that if I let that go and gave it to him, that I would be okay without it. I put all my faith and my trust in that, and that's the sad part. You know, we all have things in our lives that are keeping us separated from God, and they're making us miserable, but we deceive ourselves, just like I did, into thinking this is what's making me happy. You know, this is what's giving me strength. This is what's giving me comfort. And the whole time, God's saying, no, it's not. But we deceive ourselves into thinking this is what's helping me. This is what's helping me hold it all together. And like I said, mine was alcohol, among other things. But, you know, maybe yours ain't that, but it could be something. Or maybe it's not a thing at all. Maybe it's a person. We see this a lot too. You know, maybe it's a toxic relationship that you just can't do without. I hear it all the time. You know, I can't go to church. We're going through this or this, and we're trying to work things out. When we get this worked out, then we'll go to church. That's spiritual, you know. Maybe it's not the other person. I see this a lot too. If you replace them with somebody else, that relationship's going to be the same as it was with them, because you haven't changed anything. You didn't get God in the picture. That's a spiritual battle. And it's no different than alcohol or drugs or you fill in the blank, whatever it is. You're just looking to that relationship to fulfill you, and only God can do that. So let's go back to the beginning and review. We started in Ephesians 4. Paul is telling us that we're all in the same spiritual boat. Ephesians 4, verses 5 and 6 says, we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we're all the same. We're all on the same journey. You know, your journey is different than mine because you've got different circumstances than I do. But our purpose and our destination are the same. We all have to change from our old nature to being led by the Holy Spirit. We have to change from our sin nature to the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we get a new life. We can't fix our old one. We can't move things around. We can't just, we have to start a new life. We can't fix our old one. We just read this in Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. We got to throw off our old sinful nature and our former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes and put on our new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. But we have to realize it's spiritual. Our relationships with others is spiritual. Our relationships with ourselves. And maybe we've never thought about that. My flesh and blood. You know, Ephesians 6:12 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That includes me. You know, the problems I'm having in my mind, that's spiritual. We need to bring those things to God. You know, my bad habits, they do affect me physically, or my drinking did, but it's spiritual. And the reason you see such a lack of success in recovery, or a lack of success in marriages or friendships or whatever you want to put in there, you can fill in the blank yourself, is because we refuse to admit it's a spiritual problem. You know, we want to say, oh, that's not spiritual. That's a chemical problem. It's all spiritual. And until we admit that and get the help of God, we can't overcome it. We're fighting a losing battle. You know, we'd rather cast the blame on anything else, it seems like, than admit it's a spiritual problem. But when we admit it's a spiritual problem and bring it to God, then He will take it from right there and show you how to deal with it, and we can get rid of those things. We can overcome those things instead of just being on repeat and fighting the same battles over and over and over. You know, there's a reason Paul put that in there before he goes over the armor of God. And that's what I was going to go over tonight, was the armor of God. But if we don't believe our battles are spiritual, then we're never going to be strong in the Lord or the power of His might. Jesus was talking with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And He told her, you know, my Father God is a spirit. I think that's in verse 20, Travis, or 24, I mean. He said, my Father God is a spirit, and to worship Him, we've got to do so in spirit and truth. So how do we think we're going to fight spiritual battles with our flesh? We can't. We have to fight them with the Holy Spirit, and the only way we get the Holy Spirit is to realize we have a spiritual problem and bring it to Jesus, invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and surrender to Him and let Him fight our battles. Like I said, I was going to go over the armor of God tonight, but if we don't go over it believing that our battles are spiritual, it doesn't do us any good. we're still fighting flesh with flesh and evil with evil. Paul goes into really good detail about that in Romans 7. If you want to read that at home, he's saying, I want to do this, but I can't, you know, because of my flesh. I want to do good, but I wind up doing evil. But in Romans 7 and verse 20, he figures out why. He said, now if I do what I don't want to do, it's no more me that's doing it. It's the sin that dwells in me. It's a spiritual problem. You know, if we're having a hard time doing what's right, that don't mean something's wrong with you. That means you have a sin nature that you're born with. Paul goes on in Romans 7, and he's looking for the answer, and he finds the answer. In Romans 7, verse 24, I'm going to read through Romans 8 and verse 1. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. You know, you try to do good, try to do good, try to do good, and just every time just keep falling and falling and falling, and repeat, repeat. He says, who's going to help me? Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Who's going to give me some relief with this sin controlling me? And in verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We can't overcome sin with our flesh, but we can through the Holy Spirit. And he goes on. In Romans 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we have to renew our minds. We have to go under the control of the Holy Spirit and not being led by our flesh. You know, there is victory over sin. For a long time, I didn't believe that. I was like, man, I'm stuck this way, it's never going to get better, I'm never going to overcome this, I'm going to die drunk just like I've always been. But when I realized it's a spiritual problem and bring it to Jesus, and like I said, you fill in the blank for whatever is your battle. It is a spiritual battle. It don't matter what it is. Bring it to God and realize it is a spiritual battle. But in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, there is victory over sin. You know, not in our own power, not in the flesh, but in God's power and God's might. That's what Ephesians 6:10 is talking about. Be strong in the power of the Lord and His might, not our own. It's a spiritual battle. The first piece of armor is the belt of truth. And unless God changes it, you know, that's what we're going to pick up next week. But Ephesians 6:14 is where you see that. Like I said, I was going to go over all the armor tonight, but God kind of stopped me there at verse 10. You know, he's like, it don't do you any good to go over the pieces of the armor until everybody realizes that it's a spiritual battle. But until then, no matter what you're dealing with, just realize, like it says in verse 12, it is a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against a very real enemy. And no matter what the problem, no matter what the battle, you know, whether it's relationships, that's spiritual. Whether it's a lifestyle, you know, that you know is ungodly, that's spiritual. If it's bad habits, that's spiritual. You know, being your own boss, having it your own way, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. That is spiritual. You know, you have a problem with authority, even God's authority. That's spiritual. And I tell you all the time that only you and God know whether or not your heart is surrendered to the Lord. If you're not, then you already know it. You know what it means to say you're a stubborn person. You may not admit it, but in your heart, you know, I ain't changing that. I might say I will, I might act like I will, but when I get alone, when I get by myself, when I get home, when I get in my car, I'm doing what I want to do. That is spiritual, and things will never get better until you do submit to authority. And it has to be God's authority. You have to surrender your life to Christ. We can't have a godly life and not belong to God. But like I keep saying, if you know he's not your Lord, if you know you've never given him control of your life and your heart, that's really easy to do. All you got to do is realize that it is a spiritual battle and you're trying to fight it yourself. All you got to do is say, God, I know my relationship is not right with you. I know I've not given you full authority in my life, and I know that's why I keep losing these battles, and I don't want to live like this anymore. Just tell him I'm ready to surrender my life to you, surrender my heart to you, and invite him into your heart, and he will meet you right there. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, I share these with you every week, and I will continue to do so. It says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if today you're willing to admit, I've realized this is a spiritual battle that I cannot win on my own, and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, just tell him that. Say, Lord, I need you. Please be my Lord and help me. And he'll meet you right there. But if today's the day you've done that, it says with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Tell somebody, you know, today I gave my life to Christ. And I'm not going to be my own boss anymore. I'm going to do things God's way. And the Bible says when you do that, you are saved. And don't deceive yourself. I tell you this every week too, in thinking you've gone too far. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And don't deceive yourself into thinking it's not a spiritual battle either. Because Romans 5:8 says, that's why Christ came. It says, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. And that's talking about everybody on the face of the planet. We're all born sinners. That's why Christ came. That's why Christ died for us. It is a spiritual battle. You can't just change and say, well, I'm going to start being a good person from here on out. Nobody's good enough on their own, and you'll never make it. You'll just wind up getting frustrated. If you don't surrender your heart to Jesus, you don't have the Holy Spirit, and it's not going to work out for you. It is a spiritual battle. But I hope if you're not surrendered to Christ that today you will do that, and he'll meet you right there. And if you need help on your spiritual walk, like we were talking earlier, you know, we are the body of Christ. We're imperfect, but we're all part of that body. Ask somebody for some advice that's a little longer, a little further along than you are. This church is full of people that'll be glad to help you, glad to give you advice. But we cannot be strong in the Lord in the flesh. It has to be spiritual. And I'm looking forward to next week. I've already started studying on the armor a little bit. I think you'll be surprised of what all's entailed in just the belt of truth. And that's the first one we'll be getting into. But that's my message for tonight. And I hope that really helps somebody, because everything we go through is spiritual. I mean, there's nothing we go through that's not. And once we realize that and we bring everything to God, like it says in Proverbs 3 and verse 6, then God will, he will direct our path. He will show us what we need to do in those situations. That way we don't wind up handling it the way we think it should go. But in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. But thank y'all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in. If you're watching online, let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I thank you again for this message. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us all to be honest with ourselves this week, Lord. And the thoughts that we have about others, the way we handle situations, God, I just pray that you'd help us to see that all these things are spiritual, and how we react to them should be spiritual, Lord. Help us not to react in our old sin nature. Help us not to react in our flesh, God, but help us to truly try to be the sons and daughters of God that you say we are. And the only way we can do that is in submission to your Holy Spirit, God. And I pray for all of us that we would notice when we're not being in submission to your Spirit, Lord. Help us to realize in the to notice when we're acting in a way that's not in accordance with your spirit, God. And I hope you'll help us to bring those things to you and ask for your help. And not only ask for it, Lord, but take your help and follow your instructions when you give them to us. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us first. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.